happy 4th of July weekend. Well, not quite weekend, is it? I mean, it's a couple days yet, but we're celebrating that, and it's so precious to have that freedom, and especially the freedom to worship God just as freely and openly in our own way as possible. So let's begin by singing some of our patriotic hymns. Please stand. This Independence Day, we celebrate the blessing, joy, and challenge of living in a free nation. This day of worship, we celebrate the blessing, joy, and challenge of living in the freedom of God. This freedom reforms how we live and serve in God's world. This freedom invites us into a new relationship. Grasp this freedom and be a prophet. Seek and speak wisdom in a troubled world. Grasp this freedom and be an advocate. Serve the weak who have no voice. Grasp this freedom and be a teacher. Inspire wonder in God and the world around us. Grasp this freedom and be a witness. Testify to the power of Christ. Grasp this freedom and be a servant. Grasp this freedom and be a visionary. Sing songs that create hope. Pray prayers that bring new life. Let us pray together. Gracious God, you invite us to serve you in freedom and peace. May we seek to use our liberty in the light of your good and gracious will. Inspire us daily to live in your freedom and to serve for the sake of your kingdom. We ask this in the name of the one who welcomes all to be free indeed. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks. Today's psalm is 89, verses 1 through 4 and 15 through 18. Please read the bold portions responsively. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David. I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. Happy are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. They exult in your name all day long and extol your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor, our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. Please stand for the gospel verse. The gospel reading is from Matthew 10, verses 34 through 42. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Thank you. Have you ever noticed that as people, we like to be comfortable, and yet most of the richest experiences we have in life involve significant discomfort, right? As human beings, we usually gravitate towards the familiar and the unchallenging, and yet most of the biggest joys in our lives follow challenges and discomfort. Take being a parent, for instance. You know, before you have kids, at least this was the way for me, you kind of imagine parenting in this idealized scenery of kind of, you know, you're throwing and catching a baseball with your kid, you're laughing, having a great time with your child, you're holding your baby in perfect tranquility and peace. And sometimes those experiences happen in parenting, and they're lovely. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in parenting. But everyone knows parenting is also discomfort, right? Parenting is being woken up in the middle of the night by a colicky baby. Parenting is realizing that this person who you created doesn't always want to do what you say. Parenting, as they get older, is sometimes not knowing what to do with a particular challenge that your child is facing. And yet every decent parent in the world would tell you that the joys of parenting are worth the challenges of parenting. Or we can think about this same dynamic when it comes to being part of school as a kid, right? Truth be told, you know, school is both a joy and a challenge. There's academic challenges like homework and tests and difficult assignments. There's the social dimension at school, which is, again, sometimes nice, and sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes there's conflict between kids and students. Sometimes there's the cool kids and the not cool kids. Sometimes there's even worse things like bullying. And yet in the long run, most of us would freely admit that we were tremendously blessed by our education despite the hardship. Well, this is one of the hallmarks of life. The most treasured experiences we have are sometimes the most challenging. Whether it's learning a new skill, learning a new language, being a spouse, being a friend, being a son or daughter, moving, traveling to a new place, overcoming a personal hardship, to really live and to really grow means on some level embracing our discomfort and our hardships, because that's what life is about a lot of times. But even though blessings often come through challenges and discomfort, like I said at the beginning, as human beings, we tend to kind of avoid those things. Sometimes we even fall in ruts in life, right? We get a little bit older, and we sort of max out on the new experiences that we want to have, the new ideas we're willing to embrace. And we just kind of go on autopilot, right? We find a routine that's pretty comfortable for us, and we do it over and over and over and over. And what's weird is sometimes our routine doesn't even make us very happy. It's not even the life we would say we want, and yet we do the routine over and over and over because it's comfortable, because it's familiar, because it's easy. Well, I don't know about you, but when I've kind of felt like I'm falling into ruts in life, sometimes there's comfort in it, but there's always, for me at least, this sense of restlessness in the back of my mind that's saying there's more to life than what you're living, right? You're missing out on your true calling. There's this voice inside that kind of breaks in these ruts of our life when we're just falling into the way we live, even though we know it's not the way we should live. Maybe the best way to say what I'm trying to say is that sometimes comfort can be the enemy of a well-lived life. And sometimes comfort can be the enemy of a spiritual life too, because comfort can put us asleep at the wheel on our search for an abundant life with God. Well, this tension between comfortable familiarity and uncomfortable growth is also part of our spiritual journey. Because I truly believe whenever faith is alive and whenever the Spirit is leading us in significant ways, it's usually calling us out of our comfort zones, not into them. Usually the Spirit is calling us to something new that we haven't lived before, that we haven't thought about before, that we haven't done before. Jesus made this point in bold, colorful language, as he does in today's reading. He liked to say that his goal was not to bring peace, but to bring the sword, and that his message would at times divide families from one another. We have this, you know, stark language about daughters divided from their mothers and sons from their fathers and all kinds of familial breaking ups. And these are scary words, right? No one wants to think of Jesus, our loving Savior, as the person who brings the sword and as the person who breaks up our families. And let me say that most scholars agree that Jesus wasn't literally saying that he wanted to start wars and intentionally break up families. This would be a misreading of what Jesus's point is, right? Jesus is the peacemaker. Jesus is the person who preaches reconciliation. So that's still front and center on what he wants for us. But I think Jesus's point is that sometimes his message of love will be a source of division, inevitably, in the world, because sometimes the gospel makes people uncomfortable. Sometimes when you say that, you know, we should love one another and serve God, there are people who don't think that's true, and that's going to cause conflict. The real gospel challenges all of us, challenges our way of life, challenges our way of thinking. The real gospel offers us a path to walk. That's a wonderful path, but it's not the road that we would normally choose for ourselves because it's the way of the cross. And what is the cross? It's the way of letting go of what we want. It's the way of letting Jesus take charge of our own lives. And no one wants to let someone else take charge of their lives, even God. So the journey of faith is sometimes uncomfortable. I think we just have to admit that. You know, a lot of times we talk about how wonderful faith is, and it is. But one of the things Jesus said over and over is how hard it can be too. But here's the thing about the discomfort. The discomfort is worth it, because the discomfort leads to true life. The discomfort of the gospel leads to a richer life. That's why we're into this thing. That's the only reason we'd be into it. What's needed then is a willingness to welcome the gospel despite its discomforts. And I think this is why in the second half of the reading, Jesus lifts up this word of welcome. He says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. So there's this idea that as we welcome the gospel, we begin to be rewarded by the gospel. You know, not literally by Jesus kind of raining down magic grace on us, but it's this idea that we're living a better life. It may be uncomfortable at times, but we're living a better life. We're more aware of God's blessing, and that is a blessing despite the hardship. I want to explore some examples of what it can look like to maybe enter into discomfort for faith, but also be blessed by it. There's a story Stephanie, my wife, tells where she was on a bus. We were both on a bus in Egypt when we were living there, and we were going on this little trip. And so I was seated on one side, and then she was here, and then there was this gentleman sitting next to her from Egypt. And he kind of looked pretty traditional, the way he was dressed, in kind of a robe. And so we're sitting there, and after a little while, he turns to Stephanie and says, "Hi," you know, and he introduces his name, and she introduces hers. And he says, "I'm a Muslim. What are you?" And she says, "I'm a Christian." And he's like, "Oh, great. Hey, how about this? I will tell you about my faith, and then after I tell you about my faith, you tell me about yours." And she had this moment of kind of discomfort, because it's like, oh my gosh, you know, what am I going to say to explain my whole faith? But he went first, and he kind of told her about Islam and the five pillars of Islam and Muhammad and this different stuff. And so, you know, it was interesting. She learned about his faith, and then she went about telling her about Christianity and what her faith means to her. And she admits that it was kind of uncomfortable at first trying to think about how to do it. But in the process, it was this beautiful conversation of sharing. Probably no one was converted right on the spot. But it was this opportunity to share her faith. And in a way, what she shared later was, you know, she hadn't ever thought about what she would say if someone said, "Hey, why are you a Christian? What's your faith about?" And it gave her an opportunity to think about that in a more intentional way. So it was uncomfortable. It was hard, but it was a blessing. This is why in confirmation, at the end of confirmation, we have our kids write faith statements. And we hear also from them that this can be scary, this can be intimidating. But a lot of times they also come back and say, "This was really neat for me to be able to articulate, you know, what my faith means to me and who Jesus is and what's important here." Another thing in confirmation, we this year did a lesson on Sabbath. And as we were talking about Sabbath, we were talking about how Sabbath isn't just a day, and it's not just going to church, but this idea that we should take Sabbath in our lives, meaning we should have practices that give us a chance to connect with God, however we do that. And we shared about how sometimes taking moments of quiet, And just kind of focusing on God can be a wonderful faith practice that at least some people find meaningful. And so I took all of our kids, they were downstairs, and I said, scatter throughout the church and go by yourselves and have some quiet moments with God. And this was pretty intimidating for a lot of kids and a lot of adults too, because we don't take moments of silence very often. We're used to a lot of noise, but they did it. They went around the church and you know, some of them came back and said, my mind was crazy, my mind was full of stuff, and I didn't get much from it. But a lot of them came back and talked about how they had these really neat spiritual experiences. One of them talked about how she went up in the balcony and the lights were off in the church, but there was just a little bit more light in the day, and some light was shining through one of the stained glass windows and entering onto the altar, and she just saw the beauty of that color on the altar, and she said it reminded her of God and the beauty of creation, and it was just this really neat moment that she would not have had without a moment of silence. So again, something that was uncomfortable turned into a blessing. I think about the banquet ministry and how that was really born out of a lot of discomfort. Tootie, who helped to start it, she tells a story about starting the banquet before there was the banquet and there were no volunteers, and she's just calling people, hey, would you like to serve this meal? I'm sure that was uncomfortable, and yet it led to something beautiful. If you ever volunteer at the banquet, you'll also find some discomfort, you know? You'll show up and you'll not be sure quite what your role is, but eventually you'll get plugged in. And at some point in the banquet, they usually ask the volunteers to sit down with other people who are eating there. And sometimes that can be uncomfortable too. And yet people end up having these great conversations with people from all kinds of walks in life. So again, discomfort leading to blessing. And then the last example I was thinking about was our trip to Mexico with our young people this past summer. And part of our thing we did there was build houses, but then in the evening we would come back to this complex, which was also an orphanage, and we told the kids, just go out, meet the kids, play. And you can tell this was an uncomfortable thing because there's a language barrier, right? We couldn't understand each other very much. There was an experience barrier, right? We came from different worlds. Questions of, are we going to connect? Are they going to like me? Am I going to like them? But as the week went on, you just saw these friendships budding and these kids playing with these other kids and just this wonderful relationship forming out of something that was initially uncomfortable. So yeah, I think the Spirit does call us into our discomfort, out of our comfort zone, and into the place where we grow in our faith. One more thing I was thinking about as Lutherans, you know, maybe a growth area for us. As Lutherans, we have a strong sense of faith, but we also have a shy version of faith a lot of times, right? Lutherans are not the people, are not the Christians usually knocking on doors and, have you accepted Jesus? And maybe we shouldn't be. That's not who we are. And I think there's something to be said for not forcing our faith on other people. That's a good thing. But I think sometimes we go too far in our shyness and faith. And I wonder what it would mean for Lutherans to be more open for who God is, who Jesus is for us. What would it mean for Lutherans to be more willing to invite their friends and their family and their people they know to church and to have a way to just connect with people in what they believe? It's something to think about as one of our growth areas in faith. Well, the truth is, as a person, I don't know what your individual growth edges are in your faith life. But I know that for probably all of us, the Spirit is calling us to growth in faith, and that means calling us out of our comfort zones and into a fuller life with Jesus. And there's lots of things that can mean. Maybe your growth area is a spiritual practice like prayer or becoming more at home in the Scriptures. Maybe that could mean growth for you. Maybe the Spirit's calling you to be more loving or more faithful in one of your relationships, your marriage, your being a parent, being a worker at the place you work. Maybe God is calling you to have a better relationship with your stuff, with your money. Maybe God's calling you to be more generous. Maybe what you need is forgiveness, or maybe what you need is to offer forgiveness. Or maybe God isn't calling you to reach for something new. Maybe God is calling on you to let go of something, a pain, an obsession, a something that's weighing you down that you need to give to God. However God is calling you to grow, I can guarantee you that there will be both blessing in following the Spirit, but it also probably involves some discomfort and hardship. Following God almost always does. But in the long run, the sacrifice of faith becomes sweet, the challenge of faith becomes a blessing, and the struggle of faith leads to life. So today we hear Jesus' call to open our hearts to welcoming Jesus into our lives in new ways. We may struggle in it, but we won't regret it, because the life we gain in Christ is always greater than the life we give up for Christ. Amen. Let's stand as we continue.
Join me in confessing our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Our wonderful and loving God, We thank you for the life that has been entrusted to each of us. Let us be open not only to the easy times, to the joys, but let us also dare to be open to the challenges, to the struggles of life too, and trust that in all things you are working together for our good, because Jesus Christ loves us. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, as we celebrate the 4th of July this week, open our hearts to the blessings that we so richly enjoy in this country, especially the joy of our freedom. Help us to have a passion that freedom may be shared with all, that we do not abuse it, but that we rather use it as a way to serve you and to serve others. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for your church. We pray that you would clarify its mission, that you would empower its ministry, that you would be with those who are discerning a call to serve you and those who are preparing to serve you. And today we lift up Ben Shire, who is studying for ministry. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, as we face struggles and as we see others who face struggles, we know that we do not need to face them alone. There are people that we know, we may be in that position now, who need your healing of body or mind or spirit. In the quiet of this moment, we lift them up to you. Lord, in your mercy. Now into your hands, O Lord, we commend everyone for whom we pray, always trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take a moment and share that peace with one another. Just want to lift up a couple of announcements for you. We're always so grateful when people share gifts with us that make our worship possible. Today we have altar flowers given in memory of Glenn and Sarah Lund and Leonard and Helen Miller, given by Gail and John Miller and Marsha and David Huey. And there are flowers in memory of Alice Yelly, given by Gail Haggerty and Dale Sandstrom. And we're able to share our radio broadcast with the wider community today because it was given in memory of Bob Miller by his wife, artist. It says there's going to be the banquet this Thursday, but there isn't. It's the holiday. So, next Sunday, we're going to have one of these monthly, more contemplative, quiet evening services. We had one last month, and we had a nice little group there, and it's only about a half hour. It's just a very nice way to end the week or start the week, whichever way you look at it, and just spend some quiet time in the presence of God. And so we encourage you to come to that next Sunday at 7 p.m. And you also notice we're going to have our outdoor worship service in July in just a couple of weeks, and that'll be a wonderful occasion. We prayed for Ben Shire, who is at seminary, and we haven't seen him and his family for a while because they went off to seminary, but his wife, Jill, is with us today. She's back doing some family, visiting some families. So we asked her, and she said she'd be happy to come up and give just a little greeting.
Good morning. been a while since I've been here, and I'm seeing some familiar faces and some new ones. Just wanted to give you guys a little update. Like you said, I just came in for some family things. I got in on a flight last night at 11:30, so I spent the night at a friend's and figured I'd come here before going to go back to Strasbourg, where my family is. But Ben started seminary last fall. We moved not quite a year ago down to Dubuque, Iowa, to Wartburg Seminary, where he's studying to be a pastor. He hopes to look at youth and family ministry. The first year has been, I just said, a whirlwind, a lot of changes, but good. I'm working part-time as a music teacher down there, and our three kids are down there as well. Aaron will be in third grade, Annalie will be in first grade, and Josh is three now. So we've been having some good learning experiences, and for the summer we're staying with his parents out in Reading, Pennsylvania, where he is working at the hospital there, learning how to be a chaplain for the summer. And then we'll be back in Iowa again. So we're kind of all over the place. But it's good to be back and wanted to give you a little update. So thanks for giving me some time to do that.
Well, thank you for letting us be part of your life and part of your journey, and know our thoughts and prayers and support are always with you. Thank you. So at this time, the ushers will please receive our offering.
Send us power. please stand for the offering?
Offertory.
Praise and thanks be.
Let us pray. Gracious Creator of all, we come before you giving thanks for your abundant goodness. We offer these gifts in faith, trusting in your abundance. We offer these gifts in hope, believing that they may be used for the good and well-being of all your creation. Bless these gifts as we dedicate them to the care of all that you have made. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us pray with confidence, using the words our Savior gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You are all welcome to the Lord's table. The ushers will show you the way. Please be seated.
To say the Lord.
Thank you.